Today's news.
Hello and welcome to Old News, the programme which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. What else could we look at this week other than VE Day, of course, as we've been celebrating the 80th, amazingly, anniversary of that momentous day. And, of course, it affected the Isle of Man as it did pretty much around Europe. We go to the Isle of Man Examiner, Friday, May the 11th, 1945, VE Day in Douglas. Tuesday was truly a day for great rejoicing in the Isle of Man, it starts. It was the day when victory in Europe was officially proclaimed by the broadcast of the Prime Minister. Following Mr. Churchill's historic announcement of the unconditional surrender of the whole of the German forces, land, sea and air, there was pandemonium for a little while in Douglas when the sounding of the last all clear from the sirens vied with the blare of ship's sirens and the pealing of church bells heralding the glad tidings and calling people to services of thanksgiving. The Mayor of Douglas and members of the Town Council attended St. Thomas's Church. Following the announcement of capitulation, the services were already astir in the town. Naval men were in great force and provided great fun with their antics, whatever they were, and the army paraded with greatcoats and caps back to front, complete with accordion and drums. Long queues formed for ice cream, the making of which had just been permitted by revocation of the control order, and there were crowds at shops which happened to have stocks of fireworks. How do they have stocks of fireworks, one wonders? It was sheer bedlam going on through Strand Street during the evening, with fireworks popping off all over the place. Many of the hotels, seeing the way things were going, decided to close down around 8:30 p.m. A wise decision, it says. There was great merriment in many of the streets, in Hillside Avenue and Hillside Terrace, for instance. Children and grown-ups danced to a barrel organ, and games followed, prizes being provided by neighbours. Chester Street rose to the occasion, mothers bringing tables out onto the pavements and giving the children a tea and dance by lamplight under waving decorations. Many bonfires were built, the largest being on the tar patch opposite Noble's Hall, an effigy of Hitler taking place of the guy. Night on the promenade saw a lovely display of fireworks provided by the services, while officers at the Falcon set off hundreds of very lights. On VE Day plus one, the celebrations were continued, though there was a noted anticlimax in rejoicing. The band of the Royal Naval School of Music played opposite the Villa Marina in the morning, the Salvation Army Band played at the Jubilee Clock in the afternoon, and the Douglas Brass Band did their share later by the villa. There was a VE Day baby, it's noted. One young man will not remember VE Day, and yet he will never forget it. He is the baby son born at the Jane Crookle Maternity Home on Tuesday to Chief Petty Officer and Mrs. Sykes of 69 Brayhill in Douglas. The committee of the home have decided to present him with a savings certificate to augment his auspicious start in life. He would be 80 years old. I wonder if the gentleman is still alive and has that certificate. The children in Murray's Road and Farran Street were entertained at a party given in Salisbury Street schools on Wednesday, over 100 children and helpers being present. After an excellent tea, which was made possible by the generosity of the residents and tradesmen of the area, ice cream and sweets were distributed and races were held for which war-saving certificates were given as prizes. Mrs. Hunter and Mrs. Christian organised the effort and the balance in hand will be donated to a war charity. Meanwhile, in North, Ramsey celebrates VE Day, as reported in the Ramsey Courier of Friday, May the 11th, 1945. Thanksgiving and rejoicing. Following the announcement on Tuesday afternoon by the Prime Minister, there was a general flocking to the churches in Ramsey for the special services of Thanksgiving. The town was beflagged, there was great excitement abroad, and copies of a special victory edition of the Courier were eagerly bought up by the large crowds congregating in Parliament Street. As the evening advanced, large crowds, including many service folk, assembled in Parliament Street and other main thoroughfares, and there was dancing in the streets to music provided by a panatrope. Now, what was a panatrope? Was that a barrel organ? I can't remember. Many townsfolk heard the King's speech on the wireless before turning out to take part in the celebrations. Wednesday, as elsewhere, was also regarded as a general holiday, and the spirit of celebration continued. Members of the Women's Land Army were given 2 days' holiday to celebrate the victory. A humorous touch was provided by a band of locals who paraded the town as black-faced minstrels. I don't think we get away with that now. One beating an enamel dish for a drum, followed by a host of youngsters. And then it goes on to list Thanksgiving services, of course. Amidst all this mayhem and celebration and revelry, there was a lot of praise being given to those on high for the end of the war. St. Paul's Church packed to the doors on Tuesday afternoon for a special service of thanksgiving held immediately after the announcement of the end of the war in Europe. The ringing of the bell brought people flocking to the church, anxious to give thanks to Almighty God for deliverance from the enemy, and the service, deeply reverent and devout in character, as you might well imagine it would be, was conducted by the Vicar Canon M. W. Harrison. The service concluded with the hearty singing of the national anthem. There was a special service of thanksgiving in St. Olaf's at 6:30 p.m. It's reported there was a large congregation there. In Waterloo Road Church, a large congregation filled the body where the Reverend Charles Gimblett, superintendent minister, conducted the service, and the hymns included O God, Our Help in Ages Past. St. Macald's, there was a prayer of thanksgiving by the parish priest, and Parliament Street Methodists, a service of thanksgiving held in the Parliament Street Methodist Church. Meanwhile, in Laxey and District, the VE Day celebrations were of an informal character, we're told, in the Examiner of Friday, May the 11th of 1945. Villagers made a good show of flags, and the young people got together and organised a social in the Working Man's Institute, which is happily restored and still very much with us today. In Christchurch, there were services at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Tuesday, and in the evening in Minorca Chapel, there was a united service of thanksgiving in which the Vicar of Laxey, the Reverend S.B. Botwood, the Reverends C.C. Payne and E. Lacey Methodist, and Captain Iris Lodes of the Salvation Army took part, and members of the village commissioners and other bodies were among the congregation. There's to be an official service at Christ Church on Sunday evening for the commissioners and civil defence organisations. The Vicar of Lonnon, the Reverend W.S. Robertson, held a VE Day service for the people in his district. And then just to show that character doesn't change over the years, although fashions and technology might, the youngsters of the village made sure their part in the rejoicing would not be overlooked and set fire to a large patch of gorse on the bruise near the old school. Unfortunately, the bonfire got beyond their control and the local police sergeant and others had to come to the rescue to prevent its spreading and causing damage to property. Macald, in the Isle of Man Examiner, Friday, May the 11th, one of the first passengers off the steamer at Douglas on VE Day Eve was a young soldier home on leave from Burma, Private Morris Tate of the Colony in Macald. He's been in the Far East for around 2 years and after his leave will return to duty in Burma. His brother, Sergeant J.C. Tate, who was recently released from a prisoner of war camp, had reached home the previous day, so there was a pleasant reunion. Pleasant. A bit of understatement there, one would think. In the Mona's Herald, Tuesday, May the 29th of 1945, a Manxman who joined the Australian Navy is the head of a column. Greeted by many old friends of his younger days when he arrived home on leave last week was leading stoker Walter Ryan, whose father, Mr. Joe Ryan, resides at Wellington Street in Douglas. He'd just returned to England from Russia. Leading stoker Ryan left the island to go to Australia as a young man of 20, and when the war broke out, he enlisted in a sister ship to the famous Jervis Bay. Prior to the war, he had not seen his father for some 16 years. For 2 years, he had served in an aircraft carrier with the convoys to Russia, which he told a Herald representative was fiercely attacked. They lost a frigate just before VE Day, but managed to pick up 8 survivors. With him in the carrier were 2 other Manxmen, one named Byrne of Douglas and the other named Singleton of Finch Road in Douglas. Before leaving the island, leading stoker Ryan was employed by the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company, and in Australia, he was engaged in drilling for gold. He's now enjoying 16 days' leave, and he hopes, after leaving the Navy, to settle down permanently in the Isle of Man again. Not everyone could celebrate, of course. In the Times of Saturday, May the 26th of 1945, how the Manx Regiment spent VE Day. Interview with an Onken man by a military observer. It's pretty hard to celebrate this great occasion when you're so far away from home and actually in the country of your recent enemy. Victory in Europe Day will be a grand celebration at home, but there's still work for us all here and we must stick to the job until that long-awaited moment, D-Mob Day, comes along. With these words, Bombardier Robert Butterfield, whose home is at Glenbower in Onchan, summed up the feelings of all the men on the 15th Isle of Man Light Anti-Aircraft Regiment Royal Artillery, who are serving with the 7th Armoured Division, the famous Desert Rats. I spoke to Bombardier Butterfield in the sunlit front garden of a little village near the Kiel Canal. Broken and dispirited Germans passed us in a continued stream on their way to the prisoner cages. It's a great relief now that the end has come. Just take one look at these Jerries and you can see the war is really finished here. There's a great difference between these surrendered men and the prisoners we saw after the fall of Tunis. They were arrogant then. They're completely beaten now. How are we going to celebrate VE Day? Well, what can we do? Our biggest treat is going to be that we will have no camp blackout tonight. We're going to get a double issue of rum, but that is not quite the right spirit for the occasion. Still, it will do. You cannot prepare celebrations, he goes on, like they do at home when you're on active service. We've been looking forward to this for a long time, yet in spite of our expectations, it has come suddenly. We shall soon forget all the bad times, such as the dirt, the dust, the lack of water in the desert, and think only of the fine spirit of comradeship that has carried us all through to victory. Bombardier Butterfield has certainly lived up to the Royal Artillery battle cry, ubique, everywhere. Since joining up the start of the war, he's seen service in the Sudan, Eritrea, Abyssinia, the desert, Tunis, Italy, France, Belgium, Holland, and finally Germany. Can you imagine? Looking back down the years, I must consider myself lucky to be here for VE Day, he said. My first close call was in Eritrea when a shell exploded 2 feet from my head. Then in the desert, I was not more than 10 yards from a 500-pound bomb when it fell. My guardian angel was working overtime that day. Another spine-chilling moment was when I was in a slit trench at El Alamein and a Bren carrier charged right over me. We laughed about it afterwards, but it was by no means funny at the moment. But perhaps the stickiest time of all was in the desert when the Afrika Korps was advancing on Alexandria. We were holding specially prepared defence positions, but gradually Rommel's men encircled us. We went to action stations at 2 a.m. on Sunday morning, and it was 2 in the afternoon before we got a break. 12 hours. The Jerry fire was deadly and we hardly dare lift our heads. Stukas dive-bombed us 60 planes at a time, and all hell was let loose in the shape of high explosives. But the position was held and the advance halted. I shall think of that Sunday when we have our Thanksgiving Sunday service. As well he might. And as well we might think of that horrors of war and the gratitude we have for those who fought it for our freedom. VE Day, of course, very much still news. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.